KVOE, live and local. 1400 AM, 96.9 FM presents In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael.
Well, good Thursday morning and welcome in. This is In the Garden, Tegan Trehoun stepping in for Ron Thomas, who is currently making his way to Olpe with Ron's ride, and from what I've heard, plugging along pretty well. So, Ron, we're sending you all the best, and hope to see you back here tomorrow. But with that being said, a quick reminder, In the Garden is brought to you by the Emporius Farmers Market. Join them downtown every Saturday, May through October, and Wednesdays, June through September. Richmore Lawn Care, Emporia's premier lawn care and landscaping service, helping turn your property into your own personal oasis. Call 620-341-3890 or go to richmorelawns.com. And Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate. For all of your real estate needs, buying or selling, contact Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate at 620-344-6165. And, of course, as the Sounder said, well, this would not be complete without the one and only Travis Carmichael, the Horticulture and Community Development Extension agent here. As Travis, I was mentioning, Ron currently out on his ride right now, but a pretty decent day for it. It's a little humid, but not too bad.
Not too bad, yeah. No, it's a good day for a bike ride. And of course, it's kind of fitting. All the other bikers are coming to town. I was in the demo garden before I came over, and really? They are filing in left and right onto the fairgrounds, so yeah. They're here. It's, you know, ready.
Last time we were talking, it was about, what, 3 weeks ago, I think, mm-hmm. I was on here with you. And, you know, we're talking about we're starting to see that turn from cooler to warmer. Now I think we're into the warmer stage, and now it's going to start to get hot.
Yes. And really, though, when we look at the trend, we're still kind of about average-ish.
Mild,
yeah. I've heard, and of course we can only go by it, but, you know, we've heard rumors that this might be our summer, so we'll see. You know, generally by now we've hit mid-90s, so
that's true.
So we'll see how the year continues to progress, and of course Mother Nature is still unpredictable as we're in an unsettled weather pattern for the next foreseeable future at the moment. I know the other day they were saying it's still at least the next 8 days we are still going to see that potential. So some areas are going to see some rainfall, some not. Some probably a little too much like we're seeing further east. And so that then brings on a whole other slew of issues. And so, you know, just kind of as a reminder, if you are one that gets the 3 to 4 inches and have standing water due to flooding, most of our plants can handle a small amount of time. And I say small amount. To us, it's a long time. To them, it's a small amount. You know, they could handle majority of a day standing in water. Over that, then we'll start to see more of a damage take place, but they can recover from that mostly in our, if it's, say, your vegetable garden that's been underwater, if it's anything that's getting ready to be harvested, we can't say whether or not that is safe to eat because we don't know what's in the flood water.
Gotcha.
But if it hasn't fruited or anything like your tomatoes and peppers, if they completely recover, those will be just fine to consume later on unless we get a flood then, which is absolutely possible.
Well, and I wanted to ask real quick before we kind of jump into our main list of topics here. When you talk about whether or not they're safe to eat, what are some signs that you can look for if you do have floodwaters come through that shows you that your harvest is okay?
Well, so it's kind of hard to know if there's any signs or not.
It may not be right in your face, apparently.
Correct. Gotcha. Well, when we say safety, if we don't know where the floodwaters come in from, now we're talking about basically all the what we know as foodborne illnesses can be there. And if we don't wash properly, you know, so we can't, you know, 100% say it's okay if you do X, Y, Z to remove it. Because as we well know, even through proper handling practices, if we look at our food system, sometimes it still ends up on our plate. We still end up sick. So that's what I mean by that. Okay. Now, overall, though, just overall health of the plant, it will tell us.
It'll show you
whether or not it's going to make it. Yeah, you may see some wilting. keep that in mind. Wilting is the same for whether it's too dry or too wet. There's no difference in the wilt. It just wilts.
If it's wilting, don't eat it.
Yeah, well, or just know that that's a sign that
it may not be what it should be.
Right, or gotcha. Something is stressing. So be checking. Is it because things are still waterlogged, or did it dry out too fast on you and you didn't recognize that? Or a lot of times what happens if it's standing water for several days and then it's full sun, you'll bake the roots too. So it will show you signs of root damage, and that will help you understand whether or not it will be able to continue on for you throughout the season. So just watch some of those things. If it's any of your established plants, when we start to dry out or you dry out, don't be afraid to do extra watering, because if there is root damage, they will need that extra water to fully recover. So you just kind of, if you end up in the flooded areas, like I know I heard as we get closer to the Franklin County to the east, we saw more of that flooding and heavy rainfall. And I think a little bit up into Osage County, which I know kind of covers some of the listening area, that, you know, just kind of be watching. If you were in the standing water, too long, you'll have root damage. If it was up and down real quick, probably not going to be a problem.
Okay.
So it's just one of those things. Keep in mind, that's something for us to keep in mind, because we don't know where they're all going to pop up. If we start to have those heavy downpours and see some flooding, right, we could then hear in the Lyon County area have the same issue.
And of course, if people have questions about that, they can always contact your office.
Always give us a call. You can call us at 620-341-3220. Or if you're from the surrounding areas, don't be afraid to call your local extension office as well. That's what we're all here for.
Fantastic. Well, I will admit, this time of year, not my favorite just because of the heat. I will say that right off the bat. But this is my wife's favorite time of the year, because it means tomatoes. Tomatoes, yes. tomatoes. And I'm seeing them pop up everywhere. I see plants almost anywhere I go, any garden I see. And, I mean, really, it seems like tomatoes are kind of the fruit of the year, the fruit of the season this time. Everybody's planting them somewhere.
Yes, they are. And right now we're starting to see a little bit of issues on the tomatoes. I've had a couple phone calls today. I've talked to a county commissioner. We've all been starting to see what we call physiological leaf curl or leaf roll on the tomatoes. Now, it freaks everyone out because they curl, and I always ask them, which way is it curling? If it's crunch, it's like curling under and twisting, that's herbicide drift issues. Oh. But if it's curling up like a hot dog bun, that's physiological leaf roll. What it is an imbalance between the roots and the shoots. We've had good weather for the shoot production. Roots always take longer to catch up to how much the tops grow. And so when there's that imbalance, things will start to curl. All it is a mechanism so they don't lose a lot of water. That plants will do not funny things, but they have things they do to
defense
help them.
Defense mechanisms.
Yes, to help them conserve water. Corn will do it as well. They will roll their leaves. And that helps reduce surface area, so it's not evaporating so much water. Tomatoes are doing the same thing. Okay. So that's why you may notice it during the heat of the day, but in the mornings it's always looking fine. You know, if you're someone who can only check your stuff in the heat of the day and that's when it's doing that, that's what you're seeing. So as that root starts to catch up, we will see it straighten out. Now, the other thing is we can also induce this ourselves by overloving our gardens. Now, we do try to keep the weeds down, but if we're doing any deep cultivation around our tomato plants and we damage any of the root system, it will cause it to happen too. So, you know, mulching around your tomatoes will help with weed suppression. That will reduce the use that we have to cultivate around them, which will help later on with the leaf curl not to happen in the middle of summer. But we'll see this, it kind of ebbs and flows. Right now we see it early on because it never fails. The cooler temps gets the shoots to grow super fast and the roots can't keep up. And so we see it here early on. It kind of mellows out here in June and then never fails. Once it gets hotter than all get out in July, in August, they'll start doing it again. It's just their progression. It's their defense mechanism.
So if you see that leaf curl, it's not a reason to panic, exactly.
Correct. Okay. As long as it's curling upwards, looking like it's creating a hot dog bun out of the leaves, yes. If you're seeing it curl the other way,
right,
and you're getting weird striations in the leaves, or maybe the stems are starting to contort and twist, that's a completely different issue, and that's generally a sign of herbicide drift, which we also get a lot of questions on that throughout the entire year. So just kind of know what you're looking at when you go out there. Rolling like a hot dog bun, it will be okay.
Up top, hot yep. dog bun. Underneath, we got problems.
We got problems, yes.
Okay, so make sure you pay attention to that. Again, I
and
was
if
telling
you're confused, just bring it in. Take
if
a sample.
If you can't tell top from bottom.
You know, if you're not for sure, take a picture or bring me a leaf.
Okay.
We can figure it out from there.
And with that, though, like you said, it's really not something you have to really do a lot to correct. It really is just kind of a common thing that occurs.
Yep.
Do you get a lot of questions, though, about that, with people maybe just not realizing that?
Mm-hmm. We do, because, you know, all of a sudden it's like all of them are doing it, or just one and the rest aren't. And so a lot of times it throws folks off, or they've not seen it happen before. Maybe this year they tried to get everything in the ground really early or earlier than they normally do. Sometimes that will cause it too, because when soil temp's not above 50 degrees on tomatoes, the roots just sit there, but the shoots will still grow if the daytime temp, ambient air temp, is warm enough. They go to town. So then there, that becomes an imbalance in there. The roots can't bring in enough water and everything to keep the plant fully sustained, so they start to curl to protect themselves so they don't lose too much water.
And then do you ever see people who maybe confuse the two? You know, you mentioned the bottom side contortion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they sometimes see that and think that, oh, it's just curl, and they leave it be?
Well, some do. We get more folks that think the physiological leaf curl is herbicide drift.
Okay. So sometimes there can be a little bit of
confusion. There's a bit of a confusion. Generally, we don't get the herbicide drift to the other way. Generally, as they think this particular curling upward is
the problem.
Result of someone spraying or drift in general.
Okay, remember, hot dog bun, delicious. Contortion, disturbing.
Yep.
That's how you got to look at
there
it.
There you right? go. Yeah.
Easy so. Enough. Well, we got a lot to get through here. But again, if you have questions, please feel free to call in here to the KVOA studios at 620-342-5863. Travis would be more than happy to answer any of the questions or at least get you to the resources that can help you find the answers to those questions. We'll take our first break here on In the Garden. We'll come back with more from Travis Carmichael. Again, In the Garden is brought to you in part by the Emporia Farmers Market, Richmore Lawn Care, and Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate.
With spring and summer ahead, Judy Turner with Farm and Home reminds you that this is the perfect time to do all the things you've been thinking about, like washing windows, cleaning the yard, and planting gardens. You may also be thinking of making a housing change, and this is the perfect time of the year to do so. For all of your real estate needs, buying or selling, contact Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate, 620-344-6165. First-time home buying assistance funds are available now to all qualifying home buyers.
The Emporia Farmers Market's excited for this year's outdoor market season at 7th and Merchants. Every Saturday through October from 8 a.m. until 10:30, you'll find fresh produce, honey, bread, and eggs at most markets, as well as wonderful, unique gifts and goodies created by local artists. Stay up to date with the latest market news by following them on Facebook or visit EmporiaFarmersMarket.org and join the newsletter. Shop the Emporia Farmers Market at 7th and Merchant in downtown Emporia this weekend.
Look, the grass is greening up. Wait, weeds!
Don't let the weeds and crabgrass get a hold of your beautiful lawn. Turn to Richmore Lawn Care to keep that nasty crabgrass and other broadleaf weeds at bay with routine fertilizing and weed control. To get your lawn treatment program started from Richmore Lawn Care, call 620-341-3890 and start enjoying your beautiful lawn instead of working on it.
Visit richmorelawns.com for a full list of services.
They're in the band.
Don't miss the Emporia Municipal Band, Thursday nights at 8 p.m. in Fremont Park.
The greatest musical sensation of our generation.
KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Strike up the band, live and local. In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael. KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local.
Welcome back to In the Garden. Tegan Trehune joined here in the KVOE studios by Travis Carmichael, the Horticulture and Community Development Extension Agent through the K-State Research and Extension Office here in Lyon County. Again, if you have any questions on any of the topics that we're discussing, please feel free to call in here to the KVOE studios at 620-342-5863. You can also, if you don't happen to get a chance to call in here today, you can always reach Travis at his office at 620-341-3220. And be happy to help you out there. Well, Travis, we just talked a little bit about leaf curl in tomatoes. I will not lie. When I first heard it, I thought, oh, okay, this is going to be interesting. It really was. It's, again, I feel like I'm in my own special science class. I learn every time that I'm in here, so I appreciate it. But the last time that we were in here together, we were talking about a particular pest. We were talking about moths, and now we've got another little pest to talk about, a little bug to talk about here in squash bugs. Now, again, I'm going to sit back because I want to know about these. I don't really know what these are exactly.
Oh, you probably do if you've been out in the garden.
I've probably seen them.
You betcha.
Okay.
These guys are the gray beetles that are around any of the squash plants.
Oh, those used to scare the heck out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah. So, squash bugs. Every gardener hates them. Once you get them, you'll never probably get rid of them, unfortunately.
And if you're a young kid working in the garden with your father, you'll have nightmares for the rest of your life.
There you go. Sure. So the key to controlling them is when they're young, because they're very soft-bodied at that part. The nice thing about squash bugs is they go through what we call incomplete metamorphosis. So complete is caterpillar to the butterfly. So the young looks completely different than the adult. Incomplete, they look the same throughout their entire life. So these guys, the nymphs or the young, looks just like the adult, just only small version. So these guys will be small, gray, kind of shield-shaped body. And then as they get older, they just get bigger and
so they don't really change their look. They just change their size.
They just change their size. That's how we – that's kind of, helps with the whole process. Now, the big thing is you want to, one, be scouting, because catching them early is key. As they get older, their exoskeleton really forms and hardens, and then any of the chemicals I'm going to list here in a minute does nothing.
Oh.
So – it really has to be kind of a contact or contact insecticide to take care of them, because they basically pierce into the stem or the leaves and suck the juice out of the plant, or something that goes systemic. But we don't like using systemics on our fruit crops, because then we're ingesting that as well. So it's going to be something that is more of a contact, or we hope there's enough there on the surface that when they put their mouth through, they'll get some in that first initial bite and go from there. So if we're out scouting, always looking on the underside of the leaves, because that's where we'll find the young, or we'll see the young in the crown, the center of the squash plants. On the underside of the leaves, though, generally that's where they lay their eggs. They're kind of a rusty orange brick color, and they lay them in groups. And so looking for those is key on the scouting, because we can spray those with insecticidal soap or horticultural oil, so when they hatch, they'll get coated by the product. We can also use those products to spray the adults, because the oil and the soap basically coats them, plugs up their breathing system, and suffocates them. So that's one way to help take care of them. Otherwise, we can use products like permethrin, and there's, of course, a whole long list of products that contain permethrin unlike seven, there is a product called eight, vegetable, fruit, and flower concentrate that contains the permethrin. It's just a little bit stronger dose than what seven is. So there's all, like I said, there's all sorts of things. If you still have some malathion around, you can use those. You must always read the label, though, because they will also tell you the harvest interval on there. So if you're getting close to harvesting a product, you want to know how many days prior to harvest can you be spraying. So that will kind of tell you if you need to just wait or not do it, because if you get too close to harvest, then you have to put off harvesting until you're out of that interval. Of course, you're always going to wash your crops after you harvest them, but that's enough time, though, for that active ingredient to break down and not be harmful.
Now, you mentioned, obviously, they get in there and they kind of suck the juice out of these these crops. Is it just fruits that they're focused on, or do they go to vegetables, too?
Well, so, here's your next lesson.
Okay.
So, majority of your vegetable garden are technically fruit. So, anything that happens after a flower is a fruit, and that's majority of your vegetable garden. So, you'll hear me refer to, like, squash and tomatoes. Okay. All that's fruit because it happens after it flowers.
Well, and tomatoes are technically a fruit.
Yes.
I had that argument in middle school.
Yes, but we do call them vegetables, and it all comes down to taxation purposes. as why as they're listed as they are. But that is... So
I see what you're saying.
You'll hear me refer to both of either way, but yes, they attack mainly our squash type plants. Might find them on cucumbers too, but zucchini, summer squash, any of those, pumpkins, they will attack those vegetable crops. Like that.
And if they get into that and you, I mean, you didn't treat it or you didn't catch it, can that be harmful to us if we were still to eat that product?
So, no, not if you didn't catch or spray. You could still eat the product.
It's just not going to be quite what it should be.
Well, may not have made it to maturity.
Gotcha.
I've seen heavy infestations where it kills off the entire plant. So, you know, if the crop is ready to harvest, you're okay, but a lot of times it doesn't make it that far, because once they start to explode, they go quick.
Okay.
So it's not something like we have one generation, they kind of do their thing, and then another one. No, it's a massive explosion, and
so they
just keep going.
They don't stay in one place. They jump, and they go to
different can move. I have found... And the research is very minimal on this. Supposedly, there have been some indications where they could potentially grow wings and move. But that is very few and far in between. It's very hard to find that research. But the other thing is when your garden is completely done with for the year and you've had squash bugs, is to clean up all debris that you can from that area. If you have any rocks or bricks in an area, try to move them, clean out from under them. I understand if you know you've created the whole kind of a bed out of landscape timbers and that it gets hard, but anywhere that they could potentially hide over the winter, you want to try to clean out, because that's kind of how they continue to persist.
Okay.
So they're an elusive little creature. They tend to be an issue for most gardeners. If you don't have them, you're fairly lucky, or you're staying on top of the scouting to keep them kind of at bay enough so you can have a crop.
You know, one thing I've had somebody say to me before is, you know, I found this little pest or that little pest. I will be honest, I've never really heard of squash bugs before, but I've heard of people saying before, you know, I just kind of dust them off and brush them away and it's all good. You know, that's not going to work here.
No, you have to kill them. If you want to reduce the population so you continue to have a crop, you're going to have to kill them, whether that is picking them off, stepping on them, doing whatever you have to so you can have a crop, because they can completely kill it. And that also means, and I know people don't like when I tell them this, if you're spraying or dusting, you have to get on the underside of the leaves with these guys, because that's where they feed. So it's just not spraying the tops and down in the center. You have to make sure whatever product you're using, if it's coming out of a pump sprayer or whatnot, you got to get that wand under there And get that underside of the leaves as well.
Full 360.
Yes.
And this is the one time where I think we're encouraging violence. So kill them off, get rid of them.
Sometimes you have to do what you got to do.
By any means necessary, you got to get rid of them. Fantastic. Well, again, if you have questions, again, please feel free to call those in here to the KVOA studios, 620-342-5863. Or again, after the show, if you need to get a hold of Travis, give him a call at 620-341-3222. We're going to take our final break here on In the Garden. We'll come back, talk a little bit about nutsedge, which another thing I'm learning for the first time. Did I say it right?
Yes, did I say it?
Okay, I said it right. All right. Fantastic. I'm trying my best in here, Sean, okay? I don't host this every week, all right? Sean Thornton, always keeping me humble in here. We're going to go ahead and take our final break here on In the Garden, which again is brought to you in part by the Emporia Farmers Market, Richmore Lawn Care, and Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate.
With spring and summer ahead, Judy Turner with Farm and Home reminds you that this is the perfect time to do all the things you've been thinking about, like washing windows, cleaning the yard, and planting gardens. You may also be thinking of making a housing change, and this is the perfect time of the year to do so. For all of your real estate needs, buying or selling, contact Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate, 620-344-6165. First-time home buying assistance funds are available now to all qualifying homebuyers.
The Emporia Farmers Market's excited for this year's outdoor market season at 7th and Merchants. Every Saturday through October from 8 a.m. until 10:30, you'll find fresh produce, honey, bread, and eggs at most markets, as well as wonderful, unique gifts and goodies created by local artists. Stay up to date with the latest market news by following them on Facebook or visit EmporiaFarmersMarket.org and join the newsletter. Shop the Emporia Farmers Market at 7th and Merchant in downtown Emporia this weekend.
Look, the grass is greening up. Wait, weeds!
Don't let the weeds and crabgrass get a hold of your beautiful lawn. Turn to Richmore Lawn Care to keep that nasty crabgrass and other broadleaf weeds at bay with routine fertilizing and weed control. To get your lawn treatment program started from Richmore Lawn Care, call 620-341-3890 and start enjoying your beautiful lawn instead of working on it.
Visit richmorelawns.com for a full list of services.
The Emporia Farmers Market.
Is everything in place?
Twice a week. Wednesday evenings and Saturday mornings in the parking lot at 7th and Merchant.
Go.
KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Grown, live, and local. In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael. KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local.
And we are back in the garden with Lyon County Extension horticulturist Travis Carmichael. Tegan Trahoon joining him here today in the KVOA studios. Well, we've covered quite a bit. We've talked a little bit about leaf curl and tomatoes, of course, squash bugs just a few moments ago. And now we are on to nutsedge, which I found out I was not saying correctly earlier. And thankfully, Travis corrected me. So again, learning every day. But for those who don't know, like me, Travis, what exactly is nutsedge? What are we talking about there?
So this is one of those weeds that we see in our lawns. We'll see it in the landscape. And probably besides Bermuda grass and bindweed, this is the one I hate the most.
Okay.
So I don't know why. It's just one up there in the top of my list. So generally,
you
like
a list of your least favorite weeds.
Yes, well, sure. So out of all of them, this one's up there in the rankings of the top ones I hate the most. But we see it generally a lot in lawns. Some folks may refer to this as water grass because it grows faster than the rest of the grass, and it's yellowish green compared to everything. Okay. Yes. So you'll see it has many different names. We'll also see it in the landscape. It doesn't care where it grows. It will be in your mulch and rock growing up. I got some I found at home. I know there's another patch coming up again at the extension office because I cannot get rid of it. So, you know, it is difficult to control. The biggest thing before we move through any of this is if you see it, do not pull it. This is something you want to use a chemical control. Nutsedge, so it's a sedge, so it does have, when we look at it and if you feel it, if we were to pull it out of the ground, you will notice it has edges, and the stem of it is technically a triangle. So if you were to take it and cut it back towards the ground, where the leaves all come together to kind of create that stem region, they will be a perfect triangle. And so that's one of its identifying characteristics. I've had friends send me photos, and they're like, what is this? Well, of course, I got quite the comment back when I go, well, is it triangle or is it round? And they're like, what do you mean? You have to feel it and roll it around in your fingers to tell, does it have the edges or not? But if it does, it's a sedge. And that's kind of, you know, you may hear us referred to sedges have edges for that reason. So, again, it does come up pretty quick. It is that yellow, very yellow, pale green color. Even in some of our K31 lawns, you will always see it because it is more yellow-green than green. So it spreads by one by seed. It also makes what we call nutlets in the ground. And when you pull it, it will sever the connection from the parent plant to those baby nutlets. And when you pull, then you create more. So that's why we don't pull it. You can dig it and try to get the whole network. But going out there and pulling up the big ones, you're going to create the problem worse in the end than you are helping yourself.
You're dispersing it.
Yes. So there's, of course, a lot of different – there's several products on the market. Good thing is a lot of them have come down in price. When I first started in retail, we had a product called Manage. It's now been labeled as Sedgehammer. But when Manage first came out, for a little packet, like an ounce packet of product, was $30-some. Now it's much more
reasonable.
Reasonable. patents, of course, and all that fun stuff. But so Sedgehammer, High Yield, Nutsedge, Horsetail Control are the products you want to look for to help control it. These are safe to spray around your other plants and your grass. Always double check, because there are always going to be some plants that may have an adverse effect on it. So don't use those or spray onto those plants. Try to protect them if you can. Okay. But get that control out, sprayed on there. That will help reduce them. Research also has shown, though, you want to do that before we get into the later part of June, because by then they have basically have set their and produced the nutlets in the ground to where spraying them will basically give the same result as you pulling. So going too late in the season can also cause the problem to get worse. So we want to do it early enough to where we're killing everything and it's not going to sever the connection and the nutlets take off. So as early as you can, now that we're at the 1st of June, early as you can, they're saying generally down around 21st of June and after, then you may run into pushing to stimulate those basically daughter plants, is another way to call them, to go ahead and start to grow. So
timing is really key.
Timing on the spray is key, yes. But it can really take over patches in turf, and it can also wreak havoc in landscapes too, because they'll just take over areas if it's not managed and kept back. Of course, they're still doing research. I know University of Nebraska, their turf department has been looking at other controls as well. So, you know, there's going, hopefully we get more research in the future as well to help us control it better in our lawns.
Now, you mentioned the lawns, obviously, is where it's most commonly found, but can it make its way into gardens?
It can. And so I've had that conversation too with individuals. You have to watch with the Sedgehammer products. Some of them can have adverse effects on our gardens. So in the event that it ends up in your vegetable garden, most likely the best control is for you to go out there with the shovel and try to dig out the patch. Okay. Because some of the products could have an adverse effect on production within the garden. So, unfortunately, I wish we could always say, yes, we can use the same products in the garden, but we can't.
So, basically, anything that's going to help take care of a sedge in a lawn, not something you want to try and put into a vegetable garden or anything like that.
No.
So you're basically stuck to the manual way of doing it. Okay.
Correct.
Fair enough. I guess, Travis, you talked a little bit about how to notice it if it's there. Is there ways to tell if you're maybe starting to have a patch grow before it is there, or is it really you kind of have to wait till it pops up?
You kind of just have to wait till you see it.
Ugh.
So you may notice it when it's real small, but then you'll tell also just by the growth.
Okay.
It grows quicker than our turf grasses do. So that will be the tall tale sign. When you're out there mowing and then 2 days later it's 2 inches higher than everything else, there you go.
Is it possible to spray maybe some of the sedge products beforehand, even if you don't have one, to prevent it from growing? Or is that maybe an adverse approach?
That would probably be a bit of an, you know, that would probably be a little bit of just a waste of time. We could, you know, put down some pre-emergence to help with any of the seeds. But if it's already there, because it is a perennial type weed, yeah, that one would be hard unless you know that there's a patch that you're still working on and that you know it's starting to grow. Then you could probably spray that before it gets fully mature and you're really noticing it a lot. But it is something that we generally wait till we see it to treat.
So basically don't try and speed it up there.
You know, even though I mentioned, you know, yeah, the products have come down in price, product is still a premium to mix up and spray. So when it comes to spraying the sedge hammer, and the other nuts edge products, generally, you know, we're just going to mix it and spray it only on the nuts edge. We're not going to do a big wide spray like we would for if it was 2,4-D in that, because it is a specialized product anyway. So
understood. Well, again, if you do have any questions or would like more information on any of the topics we've covered here today, whether it's leaf curl and tomatoes, squash bugs, or as we just talked about, nuts edge, please feel free to give Travis a call at 620-341-3220. He'll definitely be able to help get you the information you need in one way or another. So, Travis, as always, thank you so much for being here. We do appreciate it. And,
no problem.
Again, shaping up to be a warm couple of days here. Hopefully, we don't have to see any flooding, but, you know, a little bit of water never hurts.
Yes, we do need moisture, yes. So we will take what we get when we get it.
Absolutely. Travis, have a good rest of your week. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Sounds great.
That's going to do it for In the Garden this Thursday, June 1st of 2023. Of course, Travis will be back in studio next Thursday, starting at 11 a.m. here with Ron Thomas. That's going to wrap things up. Again, thank you to our sponsors, the Emporia Farmers Market, featuring the best of homegrown, homemade, and handmade since 1982. Richmore Lawn Care, here to help you enjoy your lawn instead of spending all your free time working on it. Check out their extensive list of services from treatments to landscaping at richmorelawns.com. And Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate for all of your real estate needs. Buying or selling, contact Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate at 620-344-6165. We have the 12 o'clock block of news and information coming up shortly with Chuck Samples right here on 14KVOE, 96.9 FM and KVOE.com, live and local.
Since 1939, news, weather, and sports. KVOE, 1400 AM Emporia, 96.9 FM.